It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
A bomb from Thomas.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll-free, 347-215-7771.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the South Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage for the Boston Celtics. The Celtics get one that they should get tonight, 117-104. Maybe some of that stumbling and bumbling on the West Coast trip is over for this team. They obviously took a loss a little over a week and a half ago against Phoenix, a young, athletic, up-tempo hustle team. Looked like that might be the case after two quarters, one half of this one away. Celtics down by 260-58. That's quite a few points in one half, and there was a lot of hustle, young, athletic plays. Rubio up top to Wiggins for the alley-oop from just beyond half court was probably one of the big highlights there. But I'm here with Jared. I'm your host, Justin Poulin. And Jared, pretty decent game in the second half. I mean, I was a little nervous that the second half might go a lot like the first half where they jump out and then tail off.
Yeah, I'm happy that they actually pulled that off in the second half. And, you know, it ended up being pretty much a runaway game towards the end of the second half. And I was on Twitter calling for Gino. That's what kind of game it turned into. But, you know, first half, this Minnesota team's been playing well. And watching them in the first half, you kind of understand why. They're a young team starting to kind of figure it out.
Yeah, and, you know, you look at the Timberwolves. They've been on a hot streak, at least defensively, the number one ranked defense since the All-Star break. The Celtics, this really their best performance, I think, since the All-Star break, at least offensively, wasn't that way so much when the subs came in the first quarter. They really lacked ball movement. Defense was an issue, I think, the whole way through that first quarter, but ball movement was rough. The rest of the game, pretty decent. A nice performance, and you look at Al Horford. What a huge game for Big Al against – you know, the young stud in Karl Anthony Towns, who's going to be one of the first players in quite some time to average 25 and 12 on a season. I think Shaquille O'Neal was the last big man to do that in the NBA. Really phenomenal. And this team has had, well, they lost to the Timberwolves once already, and they struggled against Anthony Davis and the Pelicans. These young big men seem to give the Celtics fits. So it was nice to see Al have probably his best game this entire season tonight.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of people who watch these Celtics games criticize Al for, you know, not being that tough guy, not being that big man to want to fight for. He is a finesse, more of a four, that whole argument. And, you know, you watched him tonight battle a guy who's going to be a force in this league for a long time and already is. So a big game from Al, of course. And, you know, you mentioned how the ball movement really wasn't there, but, you know, when that time of the game was going on, you know, most of the first half when they were struggling, he was that constant, you know, making sure the ball movement was there, kind of leading this team and keeping them in it until they kind of figured it out. He played a hard-nosed game tonight and wasn't down there with Anthony Towns, and that's a big deal because, you know, he has a reputation for not doing that, and we've seen that this year, Justin, when he hasn't done that. So definitely as you stretch down here towards the playoffs and you see Washington lose tonight, so it was a big game for them to get. It's a big deal seeing him play like that down low.
Yeah, absolutely. You're listening to the Celtics postgame show and our opening segment brought to you by SeatGeek. And as the Celtics playoff push heats up, SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every game. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, and it's fully guaranteed. There's nothing like being in the arena for the biggest plays of the year, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and just with a few taps, I can instantly find seats. I actually just used the SeatGeek app to buy tickets to the Hershey Bears. I'm a Pennsylvanian. Good team here, but an hour from the house. Great game, great action. They're one of the hottest things going here in central Pennsylvania. So SeatGeek was able to get me a nice deal on seats. And guess what else? I was able to use our rebate. You can get it too For a $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, and enter the promo code CLNS, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code CLNS today. Jared, you're right. Al Horford has gone through an enormous amount of unwarranted scrutiny, and really he should have had the triple-double tonight. But because it was almost Geno time, he probably missed out on a couple of garbage time rebounds. And there were definitely some blown assists, not on his part, but nice passes to open looks that, you know, guys just didn't knock down their shots. But that's pretty impressive. 29-8, can't beat that. And Isaiah Thomas, you know, just does what Isaiah Thomas does and chips in 27 points on the night as well.
Especially when Al Horford isn't really – hasn't been scoring consistently this year. You know, he's not been putting up the 20 points. You know, he was more of a scoring threat in Atlanta, even though he really wasn't. But he was more of a cog to that offense rather than what he is to this team. And he's a leader on this team. That's what he is. You know, he's the veteran that signed here that wanted to make this team better. And they're the 2 seed for a reason, and he's a big part of it. And you notice that. I don't have the exact record in front of me, but they're a lot better with him on the floor this year, Justin, than they are without.
Way better. Absolutely way better. You know, somebody else in this game that, and we'll just kind of go around the horn, evaluate the performances, and then we'll look at the big picture and take your calls very shortly. But I would say Marcus Smart, really, when I threw some criticism at that second unit, he was at the heart of it. Wasn't making good passes. Next thing you know, in the second half, he's leading the defensive effort, and he is making those passes. He had a really nice, I want to call it a wraparound, but it's not a wraparound if it goes underneath the defender's leg to Kelly Olynyk for a nice easy hoop. That was pretty nifty, and I'm going to throw it really nifty. We're going to go back to Marcus Smart, but just because we're talking about nifty passes, Isaiah Thomas doing the Rajon Rondo in tonight's game. And here's what I really wonder. We'll go back to Marcus. I've already derailed my own conversation. But here's what I'll say about – this is what I don't understand about Isaiah Thomas. Dude, I know he's listed at 5'9". He is not 5'9". I've stood face-to-face with the man. He's 5'7". How is somebody who's 5'7" got the hands to palm the ball like that? That's he has to have freakishly large hands, right? That's what I'm saying. He's got stick 'em.
Yeah, I was impressed. Honestly, I was impressed. I saw it happen. I like double took. I was like, did that just happen? Like, is Rondo back on the court? Like, I was shocked it happened because, you know, you don't see a guy like that in that stature as we see him play have that kind of ability to bring the ball all the way behind him and palm the ball like that. And he did it effectively. He obviously got the hoop out of it. But, you know, Rondo. And he wasn't that much taller, but Rondo was a consistently tall guy, a tallish guy, but he had freakishly large hands.
He did.
And, like, freakishly large hands. It's probably, like, 2 times the size of mine.
That's probably one of the reasons he was a poor shooter.
That's probably true, yeah. And now you see a guy about a third of his size doing the same thing, and I've been one to criticize IT and not say he belongs on this team when they win a championship and that whole argument, but, you know, this guy is good, and he's showing more and more ways how he can help this team win.
You know what I love about that little fake behind the back that Rondo and and then we saw from IT tonight? Nobody does the behind-the-back pass anymore. Like, Kuz, if he was to fake something like that, you knew he was a threat to actually complete the pass when he fakes it. And yet players bite on it still, even though it's really – I've never seen them do that pass, so why would the fake get anybody to bite? But they do anyway.
The best part about it, too, just especially when Rondo did it so much, he never passed the ball. He always laid. He always went for the layup. Like, I don't remember one time that he actually passed the ball.
I don't remember the last time I saw a legit behind-the-back pass like that in the NBA. I know they're there, but they're few and far between. It's not
like
old school.
Well, they're also like the subtle bounce passes, like the off-the-pick-and-rolls, nothing crazy.
No, not when you actually bring the ball fully extending your arm behind your back.
Yeah.
You don't see that anymore.
No, you don't. And yet it still seems to get people to bite, and I think it's just, you know, you're locked in on the ball, must be why. But anyway, so Marcus Smart makes a nice pass. The dude just contributes to winning. There's another little element to tonight's game, and nobody else really picked up on it. Maybe Alex, I think I want to say his last name is Kungu from Celtics blog. He tweeted it out too. But as League Pass goes to the timeout, we see Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown, and they look kind of heated. And it looks like Jalen's kind of trying to get out of the conversation. And Marcus keeps looking like he's had the last word, like he's about to sit down. But then he kind of goes back into it, like he's going to have the last word yet again. And I wondered what that was all about. Probably just a little heated in the game and two young guys. And Jalen obviously still learning the game. Not his best performance tonight. Tried a cross-court pass out on what you would like to call a break, but it wasn't because the defense was set and they broke up the pass pretty easily. And I'm a huge Jalen Brown. I'm an unabashed fan for anybody who's listening to the postgame show who doesn't listen to Celtics stuff live regularly. You'll know I can't possibly get through a show without throwing Jalen Brown some love. Fortunately, I get four games a week to pick from. but tonight's game, not his best, and maybe that's where they got into it. But that's what I love about Marcus. You know, he's such a competitor at all times.
Yeah, I've always been a defender of Marcus Smart, just as much as you might have listened to me rant and praise him on this show and other places. But that's why, because, you know, he's only a couple years into the league and is already willing to be that leader for a guy like Jalen Brown, who, you know, on his best night might need to hear something. We obviously don't know what he said, but he might need to hear something like that. And when you have a guy at that age, you know, Marcus Smart could still be someone to be hesitant to say something. And, you know, I'm glad he's not. And you're seeing it this year, especially. And I said at the beginning of this year, Justin, this was going to be the year that that really Marcus Smart was going to be a breakout year. And you're going to see what he is in this league. And he's doing that this year. The defense, the hustle points off, the charges, everything he does. Now on top of it, he's starting to be a leader. And that's huge, especially if he stays in a Celtics uniform.
All right, so if we throw some stink bombs at some players, and obviously Avery Bradley deserves a little love for knocking down shots like he always does from beyond the arc and even doing a couple of those long two-pointers. But Jay Crowder really struggled tonight from the field. And I actually thought he'd been on a pretty good string of games, even since the All-Star break, not only defensively but offensively contributing. But he got two, I would say for him, early fouls. And then a third one early in the second half. Seemed like he was getting a little frustrated in this game.
Yeah, no, I think he was. And it's just more of, you know, sometimes if you don't get consistent looks or if you're missing open shots and I don't know, it's tough when, you know, he's been pretty consistent. But no, I definitely agree, Justin. I think that he was getting frustrated with the game. I think he was getting frustrated with just everything that was kind of going on for him in that situation.
They seem to be calling a little loose down in the post, too, which doesn't always benefit Jay just because he sometimes is the – even though he's strong, he's the undersized defender if they go in that small lineup. And we did see the IT and D lineup quite a bit. I think they closed out the first half and, you know, it started to close some of the gap that Minnesota had grown there. Or maybe it was actually at the end of the third quarter. I'm getting confused, I think. But either way – the IT and D lineup, but that's sometimes tough for him. And even Horford and Towns, I'm surprised it benefited Horford, but they were allowing a lot of contact. There was a lot of pushing, and that seems to happen, I think, in the Garden whenever Boston is playing what I would consider to be a lesser team. I mean, there's a lot of talent on this T-Wolves club, and, you know, obviously we're all very familiar with Tom Thibodeau here in Boston from the championship year, banner number 17, but it does seem like the refs allow a lot of contact whenever Boston plays a team that maybe isn't up to their level.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, you see it in the NBA. It's just the way it is. You know, they want a good product on the floor, and if the team needs a little bit more contact to get through a game to make it somewhat exciting, then they're going to do that. It's just the way the league runs. But, you know, don't take away from the Timberwolves because they are a good up-and-coming young team. I mean, I think they will definitely make the playoffs next year, that's for sure. And I overall just think that, you know, you do see that, Justin. It's just a trend in the NBA. If they want a product, they're going to make that product be entertaining, especially because if they didn't, if they actually gave calls the way they might have should have been called, if they called it a little tighter, you know, the Celtics might have been winning that entire game by a good amount just because of the way they play.
All right, so we're going to be heading out to our first network break. We're going to have the toll-free call-in lines open. I'm going to throw that out to you now, and then we'll be right back to take your calls. 347-215-7771. The Celtics get a win tonight at home against Minnesota, 117-104. We want to hear from you when we come back from this break. Again, call in 347-215-7771. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, this is Ty Ray from Beats and Eats Podcast, and today's Celtics post-game show is being brought to you by the SeatGeek ticketing app. As the Celtics playoff push heats up, SeatGeek is the smartest and easiest way to get tickets to every game. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. And it doesn't end with the Celtics or any other NBA game. SeatGeek also has plenty of concert, comedy, and theater tickets available too, and it's fully guaranteed. Listeners to CLNS Radio can support this production and get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. Here's how. Download the free SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code and enter promo code CLNS, and SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app and enter promo code CLNS. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just two taps, I can instantly find seats. I actually just used SeatGeek to buy Portland Trailblazers tickets, and I found the app a breeze to use. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click on add a promo code. Enter promo code CLNS. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code CLNS today.
Oh, dude, I love the music. All right, we're opening up the Movement Watches call-in lines. That's 347-215-7771. Again, to reach us, just call 347-215-7771. The phone lines brought to you by Movement Watches. I've got one of these watches, and it's slick. While department store watches start at $400 to $500, the good folks over at Movement Watches have taken the middleman out and are passing that savings directly on to you. Movement Watches are slick, fashionable, and most importantly, affordable. Starting at just $95, go to MVMTWatches.com/Celticsbeat for 15% off your first order, including free shipping. So that's MVMTWatches.com/Celticsbeat. I'm an over 40, and I am rocking one of these watches like a hipster. You can too. That's my favorite joke. I haven't done the Movement Watches ad in quite a while, but legitimately, I wear it with my suit whenever I go, professionally. And I'm like, that's my little hipster piece. Everything else about me is pretty bland, but
to be cool. I get it. You're just trying to be part of the scene.
Dude, I started doing podcasting before we had the term podcasting, and, here I am, whatever it is, 12, 13 years later. I'm just trying to keep it young, my friend. Keep it young.
You're not the only one. I'm part of the movement too, my friend. So it's a quality watch, and definitely check it out. But hey, whatever makes you feel young, Justin, I'll support you.
But nice. See, and I don't look young. I mean, I'm getting bald and everything else. So I appreciate your support. I'm going to need all of it.
But you're on the radio,
get.
And you're on the internet podcasting thing. So it's okay. No one's going to see you.
I'm made for radio. What is that old cliche? The face for radio.
Face for radio.
It's perfect. That's right. Hey, so I know we've got the call lines open, 347-215-7771. So hopefully we'll get some callers here. It's a Wednesday night. It's the middle of the week. It's hump day. I know there was a ton of snow, so there's people that are well rested and staying up tonight. But, this schedule is a pretty easy schedule. The Celtics are about to go on the road. They're coming my way for some action against the Nets on Friday and a Sunday afternoon matinee game against the Philadelphia 76ers. And there's a lot of space in between these games, too. There's 14 left. You look at, and we got to talk about John Wall in Washington because they got really lucky. He wound up coming back in the second half. Last year, this Celtics team was sitting in about a very similar spot coming out of the All-Star break, and they stumbled down the stretch, couldn't stay healthy. Losses, Kelly Olynyk with the shoulder, Jay Crowder with the high ankle sprain. He never had a high ankle sprain. He was not 100% in the playoffs. Avery Bradley suffered injury and really wasn't able to contribute in the postseason. Seems like this year they're in the same spot, except they have the luxury of again, this week being a perfect example, a lot of games against opponents with sub 500 records and not a grueling schedule, not a lot of travel. I mean, their priority number one right now is to make sure that they get wins, maybe even try to sneak that number one seed from a Cleveland team that's 4-6 in their last 10, although the Celtics failed to capitalize on the West Coast trip. They're only 5-5 in their last 10. But I think ultimately the number one goal from now until mid-April is stay freaking healthy and get some of these bench guys ready to contribute, because you just never know when their name is going to be called situationally. And that's what happens game to game in the postseason. We're not going from one opponent to another. There's some strategizing in between games. There's fresh looks. Brad Stevens is going to be a master, I would hope, this season in that regard. But they've never been out of the first round in his tenure, and it's about time they do. And the best way for them to get it done is to stay healthy.
And you mentioned their schedule, Justin. You only have what, 5 more road games out of what's left. So like the very favorable stretch here against teams that you should be beating. You have maybe one tough game against Cleveland, and then Washington will be a good game as well, and that's at home. So you should realistically have the 2 seed in your favor, based on, especially because the Wizards lost tonight. This is all in your hands. This is what the opportunity is, and you're right. You have to treat these games almost like playoff games down the stretch. Do it situationally, you know, start prepping these guys, especially for the guys who haven't been in a playoff series like Jaylen Brown. These guys need to get that experience and get that understanding of what down the stretch means, because now, as you get closer and closer to the beginning of April, these games are going to start to feel like playoff games towards the end.
Yeah, they are going to get ramped up. They do still have a couple of sets, one against Cleveland, which I think is going to be an important one. I think, yep. Do they have one more game against Toronto? I feel like they have one more.
They do not. They do
no,
not.
They did. They played all 4, didn't they? And they split.
They yeah.
Yep. What Toronto also kind of faltering with Kyle Lowry's injury, but, you know, one of the things I dread is what happened last year, where the Celtics stumbled a little bit, let the third and fourth place teams kind of catch up, or should say they were in third, let the fourth and fifth place teams catch up to them. And next thing you know, we have this crazy tie and they wind up drawing some pretty bad playoff seeding position. So I think in this year, they are positioned. They just got to go out and do that Belichick thing and do their job.
Yeah, you hate to cross sport, but it makes so much sense. I think that, like I said, they have it in their hands, right? So they have a pretty good stretch of games down the road here to kind of really take care of business. You're full game up now on Washington for the 2 seed, and you're only 2.5 games behind Cleveland. And, you know, realistically, Justin, let me ask you this, because I think they can. Do you think they can catch Cleveland to be the 1 seed?
Yeah, I do. I really do think they can catch Cleveland. It'll be close, and they're going to need to win that game against Cleveland to make it happen for sure. But I can see Cleveland pouring it on, but that strength of schedule, the rest, being at home and getting that hometown lift. You know, it's kind of on the Boston Celtics fan base to stay engaged between now and April, too. I'm going to put it a little bit there, because we know this team loves the MVP chance, Isaiah especially, when he's getting his groove on at home in Boston. But the fan base has to stay engaged, has to get pumped up, has to go out for games against some of these teams that where you feel like they're just closing out the season and the eyes are towards the postseason. Give them a lift, give them that energy, because, you know, if the fan base does it, you know the players are doing it. At some point, they're going to get that long-range view, and they still have to take care of the regular season. But, yeah, could they get complacent? There's a risk of that for sure. But I also believe that if they don't, they have a real good shot at catching Cleveland. It would be really interesting to see just a tie at the end of the year. I mean, between those two teams, even if they still wind up with the number two, to be that close against the reigning champs, that's pretty impressive. And I think the absence of Kevin Love is what's really given them this opportunity.
Well, yeah. I mean, Kevin Love, as much as a lot of people kind of trash on the guy, he was playing really well before he got hurt. He was having a really good year. He figured out his kind of role here. And Obviously, we'll see what kind of impact he might have if he stays out longer than into the playoffs, but that timetable will be kind of figured out towards the end of this month. But I think that this team, without Kevin Love, you know, is struggling to find a role here. You know, they tried to bring in Bogut. That failed miserably. Now you have Larry Sanders get brought in for that roster spot. So they're trying to keep the pieces together as they're going to stumble into the playoffs. And look, I'm not questioning Cleveland's favoritism to win the finals, and it's probably going to happen. But, you know, it could be interesting if the Celtics, say, do get to the Eastern Conference Finals and now have home court against Cleveland. It's just an interesting storyline that could potentially be something to look into. Now I'm really tooting their horn here. They haven't got out of the first round yet, but it's something to consider, especially if they get the one seed.
Yeah, I think the thing that scares me the most is getting some bizarre twist of fate where they take Cleveland, but then they have to face Toronto in the second round. That matchup just does not favor the Celtics. And I'm not sure Cleveland favors them either, but, you know, putting themselves in a position at home against Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals would be awesome. And the call line in just a second. So Sam out in San Diego, sit tight. We'll bring you in just a moment. And again, just toll call on 3715-7771. Here, the thing I want to close out before we talk to Sam about Jaylen Brown. It's so easy for me to talk about Jaylen Brown, but the thing I want to say is if they do get that one seed or they're locked in at number two and they really challenge Cleveland for number one in the Eastern Conference after not making a move at the trade deadline, that is such a eat it scenario, right? How many people upset, frustrated, no moves? I thought you were trying to contend this year. Look at the injuries that have happened and the opportunity for the Celtics to get their KD is down. Kevin Love is down. They really had a shot if they made the deal. Listen, I get wanting to be aggressive. I think the cap space for the team is incredibly important to ownership and Danny and probably Brad as well, because I think Brad has an eye on bringing in Gordon Hayward for sure. But with all that in mind, you know, maybe there was a couple of small deals they could have done, but at the end of the day, I don't think anything was going to get done. But what a no excuses performance by the team if they get to the Eastern Conference Finals and actually challenge for number one by the end of this year.
I agree, but also can't you say so? I mean, I'm also like down thinking down the logic of, you know, well, if they get there without making a deal, what would they have done if they did make a deal? You know, so there's always going to be those people who kind of always look, well, hey, look what they did without making a deal. What if they did get Paul George or Jimmy Butler or blah blah blah? And I'm not one of those guys. I think that you don't want to risk the long term sustainable future for what Danny Ainge is clearly going for. I think Gordon Hayward's in their back pocket. I agree. I think he's coming. But, you know, they're not going to ruin, you know, 5, 6, 7 year windows for a 2 year window. And then who knows what after that. It's not worth it just to kind of compete this year when you're not going to even get past. I don't even think you're going to get past Cleveland, even with a trade. But then being said, you know, if you do, you're still not going to beat Golden State or the Spurs with a deal like that. So.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right, we're going to open up, or we're going to go to our first caller on the Movement Watches toll-free call-in lines. And again, if you want to join in on the show before we wrap here in about another half hour, you can call 347-215-7771. Sam in San Diego wants to talk about one of my favorite Celtics, a new Celtic, a player that I identified as my preferred draft target 3 weeks leading up to the draft last year and the only person who was happy here on CLNS Radio's Draft Night Show for the selection of Jaylen Brown. Hopefully Sam's got some love for Jaylen. Sam, how you doing tonight?
Doing well. Really great win tonight. I was one of the people that called in on draft night and was upset with the Jaylen Brown pick, and I was wrong. So kudos to you. You were one of the few people that were really up on him, so I've enjoyed watching him play. It feels like he's great from the 3-point line on the sides there, whatever you call that. He seems to be hitting that shot at a really high clip.
The baseline 3-pointer from the corner,
yeah,
no doubt, dude. No
he
doubt.
He looks fantastic there. But as far as I can't really tell where he's trying to score. Now he seems to be having problems finding a shot. I saw him come off of a pick today. He looked great at. I feel like the team isn't doing enough to try to get him comfortable with where he's going to score. He doesn't seem to know exactly what he wants to do with the ball when he approaches the basket. So I would love it if he got more minutes these last 15 games or so, especially in games against weaker teams at home, just to try to find his spots. And that kind of does the same for Marcus Smart.
Hold on. Before you move on to Marcus, Sam, let me just chime in on that and get your thoughts. But the minute he went out of the starting lineup and back onto the bench rotation, I think two things happened. Number one, the reduction in minutes wound up taking him a little bit out of his game. But I think the other thing is that opposing teams can focus on him a little bit more. And when he's not out there with the starters, the players he's out there with don't necessarily have the same chemistry and don't necessarily play, you know, quite a bit, 100%. For a guy who's a really cerebral player who's trying to learn the game and make the right play, it always would help. Look at how much it benefited Rondo and Perkins to be out with KG, Paul, and Ray. It was huge for their development as young players, and I think the same goes for Jalen. So he does seem a little more tentative outside of that corner baseline three, but in the flow of the offense, you know, it does seem like he's just not quite as comfortable as he was in the starting lineup. And there could be those two reasons that I kind of pointed out. It could be more than that. It could simply just be reduction in minutes taking him out of his groove. But I think he looked a lot more comfortable in the starting lineup. Having said that, Avery Bradley has played very well since getting off of his minutes restriction, and it's pretty hard to say. And I might have been a proponent for this 3 weeks ago. It's pretty hard to say that Avery doesn't deserve his starting nod.
Yeah, one of the things that I've noticed, too, is he seems to get knocked off the ball a lot on alley-oops. He's not able to complete those. I think that's something that's going to come with his body as he gets a little bit bigger and stronger over the next few years. But
he's still moving into the shot is the problem. He hasn't learned how to take contact and then finish the play. We've seen elements of it. He did it in that funky alley-oop against the Lakers, and he was doing it well in the starting lineup. But you make a very good point. It's like he doesn't know how to take contact. He's still going up, and then he can't finish the play.
Yeah, it's like he's not timing it right or something. But, you know, but still, you can see all the makings are there. And the biggest thing before the season was that he couldn't shoot. And, you know, he obviously has a good-looking shot, and he's obviously been hitting well from beyond the arc, which is huge for a rookie. So, I mean, nothing but good things. I just noticed he only played 17 minutes, and we did win going away. So it would be nice to see him play a little more often. I think he played just a few more minutes than Rozier did. And I expect Jalen to be in the rotation where Rozier may not be in the playoffs. So just one thing there. And then the other thing was on Smart. I think the one thing he's missing is similar to Jalen. He doesn't seem to, although he's getting a little better, he doesn't seem to have certain shots, certain places on the court where he's trying to get you to score. And especially when he gets closer to the rim, although he had a few teardrops to look like tonight, he doesn't seem to know how to finish around the rim really well or how to take contact himself. And is that something that you think will develop? Because he was at the rim tonight at one point, and then he tried to throw out to the baseline, and it got intercepted, and I think they were kind of playing him for the pass there.
Yeah, Sam, one thing that I see with Marcus Smart's game, and you know by listening to this, I'm a huge Marcus Smart supporter, but that's coming. I think the biggest thing for him is developing the defensive side of things. That's what he's known for, and that's what's keeping him on the floor. But, you know, as he's getting more comfortable with the shot, teams are going to have to honor that shot more. And then from there, you know, he's going to have more opportunities to drive to the rim, be more aggressive. I think that's coming. I don't think he's afraid to go to the rim by any means. You know, he's a tough-nosed bull type guy. I don't see it. I think, obviously, like you said, Sam, he went there tonight and he saw success. So I can't imagine, one, the coaching staff won't let him go see that, not see that as well, as I think he's smart enough now and more mature enough to see that as well. He's going to start doing that more, especially as teams start to honor his jump shot a little more. He's going to start to get more and more of those opportunities down the stretch and into the playoffs. And he's going to need that come playoff time, because teams are going to start to have time to game plan for him. You're going to start to see more and more of that. At least I think. I don't know about you, Justin, but that's what I think.
I do think that. But, it's the other thing that Sam brought up, I think, was Terry Rozier and whether or not he would get minutes in the postseason. And I think that's situational, because remember last year, Terry played awesome in the postseason, and I don't think we expected anything out of him.
No, not at all. You remember that one game he hit that clutch three in the corner And he took the shot, and I was screaming, like, don't shoot that. Are you crazy? And then it went in. I was like, okay, never mind. That was awesome.
He does not lack for confidence.
No, and that's one thing why a lot of people, you know, were hesitant to say trade Rozier over Smart because, you know, he doesn't have that confidence. But I think you're starting to see that more and more with Marcus and his jumper and Jaylen Brown's jump shots developing more and more as the season's gone on. So now you're going to have to start making some decisions because you can't keep everybody. But for the time being, it's nice to have these guys starting to develop their confidence as these young players are starting to groom on a good team, starting to get into some more meaningful games.
You know, it's funny. We are talking about Smart and Brown, and I referenced it earlier that they seem to be having some sort of a heated exchange. But I am seeing some tweets, and apparently Scalabrine and Kyle Draper talking about it on Comcast Sportsnet New England. So I'll be surprised if we don't get some details on that tomorrow. I would love to be a fly on the wall, see how they continue that discussion in the locker room and know a little bit more about what it was that the exchange was going on. Hopefully the reporters have had a chance, you know, were able to see that and have had a chance to dig up some of the meat a little bit.
So we're going to hear something.
We've got to hear something. Those are two players, you know, when I talk about not wanting to go all in and maybe stay with the rebuild a little bit, I'm high on some players in the draft we're going to be seeing coming up in March Madness here in just a few short days. But if I think about the young players that are already on this club, and I will forego the Gershon Yabusele conversation because apparently he was in-house tonight receiving treatment and not able to finish the postseason with a club in overseas that he's playing with. But Jaylen and Marcus, two major competitors, athletic, strong bodies. Those are two guys that I would love to see play at the one and the two. I still like Jaylen Brown at the two, but I'm not sure that the club is going to head that direction. But I just think it's funny because maybe those two are just pushing each other. Maybe it's a positive thing, this little heated exchange that they had. Sam, what other thoughts do you have before we kind of close out and hit our second break in the show here in a couple minutes?
You know, just on that whole thing with the European players, I saw Yabusele play in Summer League, and he was definitely a standout. I mean, he looked as good as Jaylen Brown out there just in terms of the impact he was making out there, and probably more so. He was a player that people that didn't know who they were noticed from the stands. But the other thing is just looking forward to next year with Zizic. I mean, I don't expect anything like a Jokic or even a Nurkic or those kind of guys, these European players that have come over. But, I mean, can you imagine if he turns out to be anything along those lines, you know, what a big plus that'll be for our team going forward. So
if Zizic can just pull down some damn rebounds for this team coming off the bench situationally, it would be a huge improvement. Yeah.
And you have to think that, you know, Danny's got to be thinking that it would have been nice to have him on the team over a guy like Young at the end of the bench, right? Because he would definitely be playing, or even a guy like Zeller who's just around basically for training purposes. So, anyways, guys, thanks for taking my call. It was good to pull away tonight. Those are the kinds of victories we need to have. We need to pull away from these teams and finish the year strong. So, go Celtics! Thanks.
Well, Sam, one other thing real quick before you jump off. I am probably going to be in San Diego coming up in April. Are there any, like, out-of-town Celtics bars that we could go out to or something?
There is a player sports bar. We don't have the kind of – we used to have a Celtic bar here that was heavy Celtics, but it's gone now. But there is a Boston bar. Not so much Celtics. It's more Patriots and Red Sox, but – check it out.
I'll take it.
Give me a ring and I'll take you out.
All right, perfect, man. We'll do it. All right, everybody, we're gonna head to break. We got our second break. Sam offering to be
Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook along.
And but we
Audible is offering our
jumping the gun. Hey, we will take one more caller if you want to squeeze in. The Movement Watches toll-free call-in line, 347-215-7771. We'll be right back after this.
Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/try now and browse the selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, along with business information providers. One great selection I'd recommend is Bob Ryan's Scribe, which is narrated by Bob himself. Just go to audible.com/try now to redeem your free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/try now. Get started today.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As a leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the most unique and informed vantage point and the lowdown on all things Boston Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcast, Celtics Stuff Live, is back and better than ever before. Available Mondays on CLNSradio.com, Internet Radio Pioneers, and Celtics Diehards, John Duke and Justin Poulin go heavy on Boston basketball. With fun and engaging dialogue, CSL interacts with fans with weekly tweeted mailbags, all while featuring guests that are of the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is white hot this NBA season, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the free CLNS Radio mobile app now. Available for your iPhone and Android.
You know, not all ingredients are created equal. So fresh, high-quality ingredients, they make the real difference, and that's why Blue Apron is so good. Blue Apron will send you meals to your house for less than $10 per meal. They deliver seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Blue Apron knows that when you cook with incredible ingredients, you make incredible meals, so they set the highest quality standards for their community of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, and ranchers. So whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or just heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron is bringing you the best right to your door. You don't even have to go out to the grocery store. It's cold outside now. You don't have to go out and be cold. You can stay inside forever and just cook Blue Apron. They have new recipes weekly, and they're not even repeated within a year. So you make one, you don't have to do it again. It makes it's fresh every single time. It's new every single time. You have your own little restaurant in your kitchen. You can customize your recipe each week based on your preferences. I don't like fish that much, so I'm able to customize this so that I don't get fish options. I actually got a masala spice chicken dish. I love chicken tikka masala. This is perfect. It came with a kale and lime rice side, so I kind of got a little bit of everything, got a balanced nutritional meal. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping. Just go to blueapron.com/gardenreport. You will love how good it feels and how good it tastes to create this incredible home-cooked meal with Blue Apron. As someone who does not cook very well and struggles with toast bagel bites, I am actually cooking meals and I'm actually doing it pretty well, and it's an amazing experience, and it's actually really good food. So you'll love Blue Apron. All you have to do is go to blueapron.com/gardenreport. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
All right, everybody, CLNS Radio, leading online provider of audio and video coverage for the Boston Celtics. It's Geno time. I got my swing on. You're listening to the CLNS Radio Boston Celtics postgame show, streaming live on CLNSradio.com. Family packs, take your family to a Celtics game. Family packs presented by TD Bank include four tickets, two kids' gifts, and a meet and greet with Lucky, along with a $20 credit. Find great seats at Celtics.com/family, and maybe you'll be dancing with Geno. like Jared and I are right now. Funny story, Jared. We just listened to the Blue Apron ad, and I've got my Blue Apron meals, and we cooked a really good one today, except I am such an idiot. The whole sandwich was made around, and I can't remember what it's called all of a sudden. I'm not a foodie.
It's probably something fancy. You're not Nick Gelso. It's okay.
It was, because it was a vegetarian dish, and it looked like a banana, and I can't remember what it's called, but it looked like a rotten banana. And funny story, we had a rotten banana, and my wife put it on the same shelf as where we keep the bananas, and then there was the other rotten banana, so I threw them both out. And then when I went to cook the meal for dinner, I realized I'd thrown it out. So what was a very healthy meal became a little less healthy when I decided to turn it into a makeshift BLT to replace the protein that I had tossed in the garbage about 4 hours earlier. But see, that's the thing I love about the Blue Apron meals is they come with the ingredients, but you can substitute. I've learned a lot about how to create these little side sauces and marinate little things just to add a little bit of, I don't know, flavor or whatever to the meals that we do cook on our own. And it's they're a great sponsor, a very loyal sponsor as well. And we do get meals on a regular basis. We keep all the recipe cards. It's kind of educational. It's not just great food and the fact that it reduces how much time we have to spend at the grocery store to prepare, you know, something a little new and different for us to eat and for the kids to eat. So that's what I love about it. I'm actually learning how to cook because I will tell you, I am totally cooking challenged, I guess, is the best
way
to say
it. Me too. Right there with you.
I'm right there with you. No, I honestly use it too. Sponsor Red Sox Beat as well. So it's fun and it's enjoyable. And we do the same thing. You can keep the recipe cards. And even if you don't get the order again, you can still use those recipe cards and make the food again. And it's great. I love it.
Yeah, I do a lot of travel, so you can postpone the weeks. It's not like you're not committed to taking a delivery every single week. And so I travel, but then on the weeks when I'm going to be home, we get the meals delivered so that we can spend some quality time cooking together. And then, you know, it just keeps us engaged, because if you travel like I do, you get real disconnected from the family environment, and it's easy to come home and stay in the grind and sort of, you know, get kind of washed out. And the great thing about Blue Apron is that it gives us something to do together when I come home and I'm home for a week, that instead of us all kind of zoning out to the TV and or just rushing through homework and not doing anything quality time together, the meals kind of bring us some conversation and get me reintegrated. So I love Blue Apron. They're a great sponsor. They sponsor Celtic Stuff Live as well. And like I said, very loyal. So definitely check out blueapron.com. And you do get free meals for being a listener of Celtic Stuff Live and Red Sox Beat, et cetera. So listen, we're going to wrap it up, but we've got, I think, one more caller on the line. Oh, no. I think we're
No caller.
Tease. It's a teaser. But I will say this. We're going to be wrapping the show in about 7 minutes. From the game tonight, Jared, what are some of the takeaways that you think we can bring into Friday night's game against the Nets? Or do you want to maybe just look ahead entirely to the cellar-dwelling Nets, the gift that keeps on giving? They do tend to play the Celtics a little tough, almost out of angst, though, or spite.
Yeah, I feel like they're just so mad that we took their future. They have to play for something when they play the Celtics. But just, you're right, those games always are tough games. But I think what the Celtics need to take away from tonight is just you need to get off to a fast start, and you need to do your best to knock it down. Obviously, the Timberwolves are a better team than the Nets, but I think I'm looking against the Nets. I'm looking for a guy like Jaylen Brown or even Marcus Smart to be more aggressive when they get in. And Marcus Smart, you know, Sam in San Diego mentioned earlier, you know, we want him to be a little more aggressive, go to the rim. You know, that might be a good game to start working on, right? You know, work on a shot, but, you know, start to go to the rim, start to go to the free throw line. Make this a game where, you know, Marcus Smart is someone who can be a priority and maybe not have to play IT as many minutes as we have been. Just, you know, you start thinking about games where you can start getting guys rest here and there. And I know you're playing for the 2 seed, but, you know, you're playing the Nets, you're playing Philly, you're playing these other teams. You might be able to get IT and Smart a little more, Jaylen Brown a little more, people like that.
Yeah, it would be nice if the starters could just jump out on a team or two and, like you just said, get some rest. I don't want them to get rusty And that is a danger too, is them getting rusty. But that's why it's almost like it would be great if it looked like preseason for these final 14 games, where the starters come in, you know, they kill it in the first half, and then the bench unit gets extended minutes. And quite frankly, the substitution patterns will also change in the postseason, not just because of matchups and the opponent and game-to-game adjustment, but also because it's going to get shortened up. So while you do say, let's stretch it out to the Jaylen Browns and let's make sure Marcus Smart, I also think that you don't want to go too deep, because you want to make sure that maybe the top eight definitive rotation players, like somebody like Kelly Olynyk, needs extended minutes. And I get concerned about a player like Amir Johnson, who's going to be called upon to just do the dirty work, be the defender. And he has struggled with plantar fasciitis. And I don't think rest necessarily alleviates the symptoms of plantar fasciitis, but I think less playing time would only benefit Johnson. I'd like to see him drop down to like 15 minutes a night, and then let's try to get Kelly off the hook, because tonight's game, not Kelly's best, but the most previous game was excellent, probably his best game this season in green. And we saw him working in the post, being much more aggressive, creative with his finishing. I think he needs to be playing 25 plus a night or more as we head to the postseason. And that's counterintuitive to what we're saying about keeping people rested and healthy. But I think Kelly's just a guy you want to have going into the playoffs, hot shooting streak from beyond the arc, plenty of confidence in the post. You know, even tonight, he can suffer from lack of effort lapses. And I think intellectually, he always knows where to be. He's one of the best ranked defenders on the team, and it's because he plays great defense, great team defense, and always knows where to be. But sometimes he's a step slow. Sometimes he doesn't box out. So, you know, there's these little things that come and go with him that I think he would benefit from an increase in playing time. And then also guys like Smart and Olynyk and Jaylen Brown need to get used to playing together and making sure that they have cohesion, because this rotation of Brad Stevens, he's struggled with injuries all year long. He's finally got a healthy squad, but these guys aren't used to playing with each other. And so I think we need to make sure that they get some extended minutes so they're crisp in the playoffs as well.
Yeah, I'm not a big Kelly supporter, but I see why his value – I see what his value is to this team, at least. But I agree. I think that he needs to get more minutes. I agree with Amir Johnson on that statement as well. But the big thing, I think, is you mentioned it, is Marcus Smart and him playing together, and Olynyk playing together. Because you see them play well together – but now you want to see him sustain it for the rest of the year leading into the playoffs, because you're going to rely heavily on those two to carry your bench and your depth and try to win a playoff series and two, and who knows how many after that. But, you know, you're going to need those guys to really maintain their success together and their comfort together. And they're going to be a key factor of how that bench rolls. Obviously, Jaylen Brown's kind of an X factor in terms of what he can do when the bright lights start to kind of shine. But I think he's going to be okay in that sense. But I think the big thing is, you know, get Marcus Smart some more consistent minutes, handling the ball, some more meaningful minutes in these games, and get maybe Isaiah Thomas a little more time off the ball if he's in the game, and just get Kelly Olynyk some minutes to sustain reps, get consistent, and just kind of get his game back in shape before the playoffs do hit.
It would be nice to see Al Horford string together some consistent minutes. I know one of the things with him is, and I think it goes without saying, anytime a player joins a new team, there's a new system, there's a learning curve. Even with Jaylen Brown, I predicted that he wouldn't hit his stride until after the All-Star break. And what I would say is fairly obvious reasons for that. And I think he hit it a little bit before that. Then he suffered the injury, missed a few games going into All-Star break, and then coming out of it played pretty well. Now he's on the bench, and it is what it is, and he's got up and down games like we've seen. But Horford, I think there's some mirroring of that experience for him. He's a vet, so obviously he's going to perform better than Jaylen Brown, who's still learning the game. But for the criticism that Horford has received, I think one of them is the fact that, and Kevin Garnett used to get this on offense too, just the lack of aggressiveness to try to score, and we saw that tonight. What I'd like to see is maybe him continue to be more comfortable asserting himself without reducing the playmaking and all the intangibles that he does on offense, which really helps Isaiah Thomas perform at his peak. When you see both of these guys scoring 20 points, filling up, you know, almost triple double for Al Horford, that's the kind of game that you want them to continue to put together. So that's what I guess I would say between now and the postseason I'm also looking for is maybe Al Horford can show us a consistent streak and as far as asserting himself offensively. I think he's been good this season, but good enough, you know, maybe more consistent offensively, asserting himself, scoring in the post, banging around, and getting himself ready for, you know, there's going to be some crazy matchups for him when the playoffs roll around.
Yeah, I like that Al Horford idea just because, you know, everyone kind of, when they brought him in, people right away who didn't really know Al Horford's game consistently enough said, oh, he's going to be the guy, the tough-nosed guy who's going to help Isaiah. Most of us knew, you know, he wasn't that type of player and isn't that type of player, but he's developed that kind of role. And this time of the year, you saw it tonight. We talked about it earlier. He was big, low, and he was aggressive. He was a force. He got the ball, wanted the ball, and wasn't afraid of being down low and being physical with Karl Anthony Towns. So I think moving forward, you need that from him because to play against these guys in the Eastern Conference and so on and so forth, you need a big man down there. You've been lacking that. He's been a little more aggressive. You're seeing the Celtics rebound a little better as of late. And I think him being aggressive is going to help that even more because you're going to get a little more traffic, a little more big body down there and just kind of shuffle that ball around as much as possible.
Yeah, that inside-out game with some of the passing rather than just floating it around with all the high screens and just keeping the ball out on the perimeter, waiting for an opportunity for Isaiah to drive it in, having somebody else to put the ball in and out, just gives you a few more creative passing opportunities.
Oh, that passage Repco was amazing. Love that.
There was. Oh.
Yeah, that was a sweet
and,
pass.
And we don't see enough backdoor cuts with this team either. That's if I'm going to have a complaint, I remember when Avery Bradley and Rondo were working those backdoor cuts all the time. They caught mm-hmm. the Miami Heat sleeping frequently, I remember, and just enjoyed watching that. We don't see a lot of those. And when you see Jalen out on the wing getting ready for a spot up three, like Sam mentioned, in the corner along the baseline, the short corner three, we never see Jalen really take that full-on cut to the basket for an oop or a backdoor pass and reverse lay-in. We don't see that enough. I would love to see Brad start to incorporate that into the offense with some of these younger athletic players. Somebody else that I think would be awesome at that I don't think we've seen do once this year is Terry Rozier. A nice backdoor reverse lay-in. That would be such a nice little niche for some of these young guys because you know they're not the player that defenses are keying in on. And that could get them an extra 2 to 4 points a game in the postseason.
Well, Avery Bradley made a living off that for a while until he really knew who he was, like you said.
As a young player.
So it makes complete sense. But, you know, obviously it helped that Rondo was a phenomenal passer and could get people to backdoor cut the ball from, like, the top of the key. But that being said, you know, Al Horford having more of a presence will help that. Because if you give Al Horford the ball down low, you know, now people are going to start to pay attention to him because they know he's going to be more willing to be down there and really battle with them. That gives Jaylen Brown the opportunity, Terry Rozier the opportunity, Marcus Smart without the ball the opportunity to go to the rim like Sam in San Diego wanted. You know, having him have more of a presence really opens up that sort of offense because Isaiah Thomas won't be able to get them the ball from the top of the three-point line down back kind of like Rondo used to be able to.
Marcus Smart might be able to. I'm thinking that might even be a second unit move because Smart's proven to be a much better passer than I think anybody really anticipated. And with Evan Turner moving on to Portland, it's really carved out an opportunity for Marcus to work in his more natural position at point guard and playmaker.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, people always criticize, you know, Marcus Smart's not going to be a point guard, blah, blah, blah. Well, he never really got his opportunities. And you're starting to see that develop now.
He's playing the undersized three. I mean, it was just out of position. And it reminds me of when they tried to make Avery Bradley play point guard when in his early years just to get him some minutes. And it was so obviously not a natural fit. And Marcus admirably playing the three, but again, not taking advantage of what he really has to offer the team.
Well, you're starting to see him the comfort level he has with the ball in his hand. I mean, he's been a point guard his entire career, officially, and you know he played point guard in college. So that's what he likes to do. He's comfortable handling the ball, and now that he's more physical and not really afraid, and he's going to push the tempo with the ball in his hand. So you're right. I do agree. I think the bench is a good option for that, and I think Jaylen Brown's the best candidate. You know, he's a slasher. He's got the athleticism, and who doesn't want to see a couple alley-oops in the playoffs?
Yeah, who doesn't? I would like to see one very similar to the Rubio to Wiggins one that we saw tonight. That was pretty.
That was nice. I love Andrew Wiggins. He's a great player. He's going to be phenomenal for this league. Him and Towns together is going to be a force.
Yeah, they really are. And, you know, Rubio, I don't think gets his due either. He's a better player than maybe he's performed. You wonder, he's one of those guys that winds up on a veteran club going for a championship 6 years down the line from now. And then everybody goes, where did he come from? How did that happen? And maybe he's like a six-man candidate. But, you know, you could see that. I mean, it's funny, but, you know, it's pretty clear that they want to try to get Chris Dunn. And they've talked about bringing in Derrick Rose. And they're not comfortable with the point guards there in Minnesota. But I'd be a lot more comfortable with Rubio, I think, especially if he was on more of a veteran team. I think there's something about the makeup of this squad that it's just not quite working out the right way for him. But Jared,
I think he's like Rondo. I think he's like Rondo. You know, he's better off playing with guys who can make shots in veteran teams. He doesn't need to be the leader right now. By just stature, he would be the leader on that team. I know Towns is kind of taking that role, and he's going to take that role, especially after being mentored by KG. But that being said, that's the role that they thought he was going to be, and he hasn't just played out to that yet.
Yep, I think that's a good observation. Jared, man, it's been a while since you and I did a show, but I've enjoyed it. It flew right by.
It always does this stuff. I could talk about topics for hours, so...
Taking it to midnight.
Hey, I don't have to be at work till what, 7 a.m., 9 a.m.? We can just keep going. Screw it.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know what? We will in the postseason. You know it'll be hard prying us off the airwaves. And like the Celtics, we're just getting our chops up for when the games really matter and things start to get exciting. We're almost there, folks. 14 games and just about 30 days away from the end of the regular season. The Celtics with an easy schedule and hopefully – the ability to chase or catch up to the Cleveland Cavaliers for the number one spot. Who thought we would be saying that at the beginning of the season? Certainly we thought they could be number two. The question was whether or not they could leapfrog Toronto. Now Toronto's sliding. Washington had a scare in their game tonight against the Dallas Mavericks, and the Celtics do what they're supposed to do. They beat the teams, the sub-500 teams that are going to be on the roster. On the schedule, two more coming up here to close out this week, Friday against and Sunday matinee against the Philadelphia 76ers. Those are two of the final five road games, and should be more easy wins if they do what they did tonight. Victors 117-104. If they do what they did tonight against the next two opponents, things are going to be positioning very well for this club. So this post-game show is going to be available on demand for listening by searching the CLNS Radio Boston Celtics post-game show on iTunes and Stitcher. And don't forget, you can find it on the CLNS Radio mobile app. All you have to do is go to your Android or App Store for iOS or Android, search CLNS Radio. You'll see it right there. It'll pop up. Make sure you download it. There's lots of great shows. And follow CLNS Radio on social media, at CLNS Radio on Twitter, and like us at facebook.com/CLNSFans. Today's show brought to you by Blue Apron. Go to blueapron.com/CLNS. We're going to get you three free meals and free shipping. Our friends at Movement Watches as well, mbmtwatches.com/CelticsBeat. You'll get 15% off your first purchase and free shipping. And finally, Audible, audiblepodcast.com/sign up for a free 30-day trial of audiobooks. Music provided by Nick Sesento and Joshua Morris. Want to thank today's callers and everybody for tuning in. And for CLNS Radio Executive Producer Larry H. Russell, Program Director, that's me, host of the show, Justin Poulin, founder of the network, Nick Gelso, and my co-host tonight, Jared Scally, I'm Justin Poulin. See everybody back here on Friday when the Celtics take on the Brooklyn Nets.